So when we get there, we'll have everything just right. We can keep on shouting. Because really, basically, that's what we, as Christians, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be practicing for the final opening. And no going, there's not going to be no closing either. And like I've told some of you before, if you ever get a chance, and maybe every one of you have, if you have, praying for you, the Lord loves you that much more. But if you've ever had an opportunity to talk to someone about Jesus, and you know, and I know they have all these seminars and everything going around doing churches around where they will come in and they will teach you how to soul win and how to go out and talk to people and how to lead the Lord. Well, I say this, I believe the best way to do it is do it the way the Lord wants you to do it, because if you do it that way, then you have your own heart in it. But if you take in what words somebody else has done taught you to say, you just give them somebody else's words. And I'll never forget the first time that I led somebody to the Lord. It was right there in the hospital. And the reason I was at the hospital visiting is because the pastor called me that morning at work and asked me if I could go up there on my lunch hour and see him. He had to go out of town, and he had to go to Richmond. I told him, I said, yes, sir, I'll go. He told me his name and everything. I went up there. Talked about the Lord, talked about church, talked about everything. He never did. He didn't give us, heart then. But when I left, I prayed with him. And I went to the door. And getting ready to pull the door open. And his wife was sitting there. And she asked me, she says, come back for a minute if you got time. I just want to ask you something. I said, all right. And she asked me, she says, I wished that I could pray like you prayed. I says, you know, don't pattern your prayers after someone else. You talk to the Lord about what you want in your own way. Because what I pray for, you can pray for the same thing, and he may not answer it. You need to pray from your heart. And the husband's still laying in the bed and everything, and I still talk to him about prayer and everything, that, you know, what prayer is just talking to God. That's what prayer is. You don't have to come up with no fancy prayer. Just talk to God. That's all prayer is. And I says, and if you do that, you'll be okay. And after I got through, I couldn't leave the room. The man wouldn't let me go. He said, I want to get saved. And I led him to the Lord right there. The first one I ever led to the Lord, and I tell you, man, I could not wait until I found somebody else. I mean, back then, I mean, you know, it won't that many people that they're saved and they're Christians and they're in church like you do today. Did you know everybody is out here saved? Everybody out here goes to church too. By the way they talk. But where are they at? If they're saved, where are they at? Majority of them are at home. Or they at Walmart. I mean, not yeah, Walmart. Target. At the race today. And don't get me wrong. I'm not against racing. I'm not against all these sports. But you don't have to put it before God. Because I can remember when they had, I mean, you know, I'm 60, right here, 69 years old, and I can remember when they had the race on Saturday nights. I mean, it was just when the NASCAR was getting going, and they had us on Saturday nights. Because they had the race down here. Within probably what, 4 or 5 miles from here. And they race down there and they have it on Sunday. No, they didn't have it on Sunday. And the reason for that is because they knew what Sunday was all about. And it wasn't about racing. Won't about racing at all. But I tell you, I don't know. But if you will, this morning, turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 50. And we're going down to verse 22, we're going to read that down through 26. And this right here is speaking about Joseph. And it's speaking about his death, his final days. But in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim, children of the third generation, the children also of Machir or something like that, till the son of Manasseh was brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from thence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. This was the final days of Joseph there on earth, and all he had done for the Father, and all he had done for all the other individuals that he was surrounded with. He obeyed the commandment of the Lord Jesus. He done exactly what the Holy Spirit had told him to do. Done exactly. And you know, I can do everything myself to what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. And if I do it myself, then either I can get it done myself, or I can have it done through somebody else. But which one should I use first? The one I should use first is me, not somebody else. Because in prayer, when we're talking to God the Father, we're talking to Him about the situations that we have been put in, and we're asking the Lord to help us with that situation. And the Lord, He will help us, no doubt. But there's so many today, they don't look at it. And you know, and I think the reason for that is because here in 15, verse 23, it says, "And Joseph saw Ephraim, children of the third generation, the children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, was brought up upon Joseph's knees." When was the last time you were down on your knees? When was the last time I was down on my knees? And when I'm speaking about that, I'm speaking about that we've humbled ourselves to the point that we have lost our courage, lost our ability, and lost everything that we have, that we just humbled ourselves and went to the Lord in prayer. And that's before God will ever answer a prayer, is we have to come to Him and we have to be humble. And we have to shed some tears. Where's the tears at today? We don't see no tears that come from people's eyes anymore. Why? Are the tear ducts stopped up? Do they have plugs in them? Yeah. In your tear duct, they can put a little plug in there where no tears will come through. And I said, "Well, she said, man, it must be an awful small tear duct. Because I don't say they could do it. They can't. God does it for them. I know that, you know that. But see, you know, we hear much today in the preaching of God's word from other pastors, other evangelists, and they're talking about theologians. They're talking about theology. And the reason they do that, they just want to see how big that they can put themselves up on a pedestal. Because, you know, you start talking about theology, you got to get into these big words and everything. Well, I'm not into big words. And Jesus Christ wasn't into big words. And Paul wasn't into big words. I mean, Paul, he knew, what was it, 7 or 8, 9 different languages? Did he go out here and show himself and spoke all 9 of them, one right after the other, when he went into a town? No. He didn't talk to all the people in them different languages right there. He went, when he went into a town, or when he went to see somebody, when he walked into their home and everything, he knew what they believed. He knew what nationality they were. He knew what language they were speaking. And then he would speak the language that they would understand. And I'm gonna say this. I'm not 100% sure, because I haven't found it in God's word yet, except for that place where I just talking about Paul and in the 9 languages. But for Paul to get along with God, Paul had to make an agreement with God before he did. And the agreement was that he would do exactly what God would ask him to do. And God knew that what Paul was going to tell him. He knew what Paul was going to say. And Paul, he said the exact same thing. Of all the different languages back then, and even coming on up to where we're at today, because I know we got some languages today that they've just made up. But for his language, for the individuals, for society to be able to speak in a different language to different people, that's number 9. There's number 9 languages. Why you say it ain't but 9? Well, I believe if it was 50 different languages, I believe God, when God had Paul right there on the Sanhedrin desert, I believe God would reveal to him each one, and Paul would be able to speak it, and Paul would be able to say something about it to where the people would understand him in that particular situation. But have another group of people there that spoke in another language, well, they could not understand what Paul was saying, because Paul was speaking in the other language of the other people there. But Paul went all, but Paul just didn't stop there. Paul, he always went back to the people Well, he always went back to the ones he was speaking to. But he also went back to the ones where he wasn't speaking to at that particular time, because the other individuals were there, and they're speaking a different language. So what Paul done, Paul went and he got on his knees before an almighty God. And he prayed. And he shed tears. And he asked God for help. Because he told God, said, God, I cannot speak these languages. I don't know them. I don't know how to say this and that. It don't say, but I believe God told Paul, said, Paul, don't you worry about it. Only thing I want you to do, I want you just to provide your body. I want you to provide your mouthpiece. And you let me do the rest. We come down to us, we'd say, well, I doubt if anything's going to come of it. Ain't nothing going to come of it. Why? It's because of the religious sects, the religious individuals I hear, that they would go and speak to people and they would be saying and thinking that they're talking to them about the Lord. But as far as Scripture is concerned, there's not but one Lord. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not but one God, and that's Jehovah God. He's the creator of this world. He's the creator of all of heaven and of all the earth and everything that's in the earth and everything there in heaven. He was the founder. He was the creator of it. Like today now, if we have somebody that, if they come up and they say, well, you know, I got somebody said, well, I see where you got your new business up. Yeah, huh? Got a new business. It's doing good. It's doing good. I mean, I tell you what, I mean, if I hadn't done some of the things that I done, we wouldn't have been doing good. Now they brag about themselves and what they've done, and they have done nothing. God's done it all. Can nobody, no business, no church, or no one can be able to allow the church to stand or allow that business to prosper. And Paul knew that. I believe that what we can also say, what we saw in Genesis and what we just read, we see right, we see where Joseph fell on his knees. He fell on his knees to the point that he wanted God to see his life and to see him humbling his life. Now, some people might say, well, that's kind of a little wrong there. That's, you know, you could take that, somebody could take it and run it with being a controversy. But it's not. It's not. It's nothing, there's nothing. Nothing that's in this word that I hold up right here to you. There's no sentence. There's no word. It's surprising to God. It's for God and his people. He always hung around the ones that that loved him. Paul. You know, we have Eli, we have Caleb, and we have so many of the old-time prophets. They stayed true to God, and they stayed with God. And as long as they stayed with God, they was okay. God was going to continue to bless them. But once they got away from God, and got out of God's will, what happened? Sad to say, many of them would just, they would have to close their business. Sad to say this, some of them would have to close the church building. Why? Because we just have a few people coming. And don't really see where any of them are really interested in letting it go on and carrying the church on and trying to help the community. You know, this community, right? Is this community around here? It can be only as strong as a church in the community. If the church in the community is strong, then the community around the church, they're going to be strong also. But getting back to on your knees, I think before anybody really can do anything for God, they got to get on their knees before God. They got to get on their knees before God. And I tell you, when I was reading this and studying it and the things that God was giving me, I said, you really want me to preach that message? He said, yeah. If I didn't want you to preach it, I wouldn't have gave it to you. I said, well, God, I said, do you want me to call somebody else within the church or some other pastor that's retired or something and invite them to come and allow them to preach and just mail them a copy of what is going to be said in the meeting? And I said, if you can do that, then God is going to do what more? What more can God do? He can do a lot. But the reason that you don't see much of God's movement today is because the people is not really responding to him. The people don't want no kind of movement today. They don't want no kind of movement in the church. They don't want no kind of movement at home. And here they are, and they're wondering why things happen to them so often. And you know, talking about that, how often can it be? How often can it be that we don't understand it? We don't understand none. We don't really understand none of what we. What I don't understand nothing I've said this morning. I don't understand salvation. I don't understand the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I don't understand none of that. Why? Because God has not asked me to understand that. God's not asked me to do that and to go here and go there. God didn't ask me to do that. The only thing God asked me to do is be faithful. Be faithful to who? To Him. And how's that being faithful to Him? That when He ends up going, He's going to be right there at church. He's going to be right there where the church doors are open. And when they open, He's going to try His very best to be the first one in. Sometimes He makes it. Sometimes He don't. But He does get in. He does get in. Down on your knees. Are we willing to, this morning, to be able to get up out of your pew? And I know you can't, many of y'all, you can't kneel. I know that. And the Lord knows that. But see, the only thing the Lord Jesus Christ wants from His children, and we are His children. He's our papa. He's our daddy. He's all we need. But for Him to do all of what He does for us, He's not asking me to just say, well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you got me through it. He got me through it. Yeah, He got me through it. But I did not help no one. Why? Because I was jealous. I was jealous because I was going to ask the Lord Jesus to go and visit with the individuals. I don't understand the churches today. What we need today, we don't need to go out here and build $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 or $1 million building. We don't need to build to do that and waste all the money for that. You know what we need? We just need to get together and go to somebody's home. And go in the basement or go in the kitchen or the living room. And have the services there. Why not? That can be called church there too. Where the believer is where the church is at. If there's people here in this building, and if none of them is a believer, they have a building that worships the devil himself. But we that are here, we are within the realm of having a whole lot more than what we have. Now, I said something to y'all here the other week, and I mean, I think maybe some of y'all maybe kind of well, kind of snickered at me or something like that, and, you know, I don't think we'll ever get that like that. But I said this, and I'll continue saying it until the Lord removes me from his pulpit. I'll still say this, that God give me the vision. What kind of vision do you have? What kind of vision do you have? Do you have a vision to see this church prosper? Do you have a vision to see sinners just start walking into the church and not coming and sitting down in the pew, but come all the way to the altar, and on the altar they'd bow their knees and they'd start crying and they'd start weeping, they'd cry to God and ask God to save their soul and to help them to be what they need to be for God. That's my vision. I would love to see. I mean, here it is now. I've been here. Well, I've been 5 years, but as far as being y'all's pastor, you know, and y'all, where y'all voted on me, it won't be five until I think it's May. But I come in sometime in the last part of February or sometime in March. I forgot which now. But in coming, before y'all even voted on me, I had a vision for this church. I had a vision for your life. That you would not stay in the same rut that you've in. Because all of us, we all get in a rut sometime in our lifetime. And when we do get in that rut, it's hard for us to maneuver. It's hard for us to get out of that rut to where we can be more sufficient, where we can be more like what God wants us to be. As Christians, these individuals I hear, they says, "Well, you're not going to talk to me about religion." You're right. I ain't going to talk to them about religion because they got all the religion that they can prosper and come up in need. But see, religion itself is the main thing that's going to send majority of the people to hell is religion. Because see, in God's word and being a Christian, you don't go out here, you don't ask for help to do this and do that in the name of religion. No, because what you're doing, what you're saying then, you're saying, God, the creator of this universe, I know him. He's my religion. No, this Satan's your religion. But I still have a vision. And can't nobody tell me it won't happen. Nobody but God. That one day, but people will start coming through them doors back there. And they'd come straight to the altar. And they should be able to do that. And not only do that, but they also should be welcome to the church and to the family of God right here. Always welcome. And we should never stick our nose up in air around them. Around anybody, really. Because when you're doing that, you say, "Man, yeah, I see it in them. See, three more came with them too. And they come back next week, and they got three or four more come with them. There's new ones this time. Instead of having six individuals, now they got, oh man, they got up to like 10 individuals now. I'm going to say this in closing. And I promise you it won't be three times I'm going to say it before I close. But as far as obeying God, and for us to do exactly what's on God's heart for Faith Baptist Church, we need to really allow it to touch our hearts. And the only way that we can ever allow that and what we do touch our hearts to where, yes, we'll shed a tear. First of all, we're going to have the right prayer life. Next, before we pray, we got to humble ourselves and get on our knees before an almighty God. And we must always have somebody that we can come up with, a name or somebody that we just met, but we forgot the name. But we know where they live. If we forget somebody's name, we can always go back to the Lord. Because the Lord, He never forgets anything. He never talks about other people and talk to them down. No. The reason He sent His Son from heaven, from right there beside His side there in heaven, the reason He sent His Son here to the earth is not for somebody to talk about what she done and what she said and what she prayed for. No. Nothing about that. The only thing it's about is the vision that God gave them when He saved them. And I do not believe, like some people believe, well, you know, God didn't speak to me, and God didn't want me to go out and visit. God didn't want me to go out and talk to the people. I want to ask you this, though. If you're not willing to go out and invite somebody to church, if you know they're not in church somewhere. If you're not willing to do that and serve God in that capacity, why should we, as individuals, go to God in prayer and ask Him to help us with our need? We can't. Why? Because He is God. He is God. He deserves every ounce that we have. We need to go on and share willing to come forward. Just all you have to do is come to the front. When you do that, you say, God, I've made a move. And I moved because it's something I want to talk to you about. I mean, I'm a pastor here, and I couldn't get down here get on my knees. I would love to, but I know if I got down on them, that I wouldn't be able to get back up. And then if I did try to get up, I would probably fall backwards. And then God's not going to hold that against me. Only thing God wants to see some movement. And when we move for God, it don't make no difference if it's just one pew or three pews, five pews, or whatever. If we move up, you know what this tells you? That in what you're really telling God, is, God, I want to move a little closer to you. I've been too much of a distance between me and you. But I want to be closer to you. I want to be able to feel you. Like John says, talk about his bosom. He said, I want to feel you. And I do too. Sometimes that when I'm up here, sometimes it don't seem like that what I've said means a thing. It don't have nothing to it at all. But then I can do the same thing the next week. Preach the same message, word for word, next week. And I can be up here, and it can be so cold up here in the wintertime, and so hot in the summertime. But in the wintertime, when I'm up here swivering and cold, he'll allow the furnace to kick on. And he'll allow some of that breeze that's coming from the furnace slap you upside the face. Then in the summertime, when it's so hot outside, and when it's so hot in here, I can't even breathe. Yeah, the air conditioner done went out and everything, and we just can't get it cool enough in here. I love it when God himself uses his own air condition. And the Holy Spirit will come up. And he can do the same thing for you. And the Holy Spirit can come up. He'll come on up to beside of me. And he can be close. I can feel him. And while I feel him, then he comes up and slaps me again on the face with a cool breeze. And with that cool breeze that he sends my way, you can feel it. How can you feel it? Well, I think different people, they feel it differently, in different ways. But as far as me, when the Holy Spirit, when he does that, when he comes up and slaps me on the side of the face and gives me a Holy Ghost breeze, hallelujah, then that's when I can take and roll my sleeves up. I can take this shirt off. And you can look at my chest. You can look at my arms. And what's that? The Holy Ghost bumps is going to come up. The chill bumps has come on. Who are they? The Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And now, God, I ask, Lord Jesus, for what we said this morning, I pray. Father, that I stayed with you and Father said what you asked me to say this morning. Now, Lord, we're asking now for you to come down and, Father, you do your part. And, Father, I believe, I also believe this, that, and I know that there's some more things that we can do that we haven't done. I understand that also. But Father, allow us as your children, as your servant, as your child of God, allow us to worship here in your house. And Father, not only that, to allow us, Father, to worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, we do thank you. And Lord, I pray this week, Father, for each one that's here. I pray, Father, that they will just search it out, search the heart out about the children, about the grandchildren, about the brothers, about the sisters, about their in-laws, Father, we pray as you bring all these individuals to a heart that, Father, that we can do something special this week for you. I believe that we do need to do something special this week for you. I do not know what it is right now, Lord. Something is special. But Father, I'm asking you, would you mind revealing it to some of us? Father, because I have a vision of people. I want people to come in the house of God. I want them to give their heart to the Lord Jesus. I just want them to be able to say, it sure is good to be a Christian. I wish I'd have done it long before I did. Father, continue to help this church. Continue to help your people day by day, Father. And we thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen and amen.